Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock, and welcome to my lifestyle podcast, Live Without a Net. The podcast showcases people who live fearlessly and have the ambition to create something. I'll showcase change makers who have decided to let go of their safety net in order to survive. So let's jump right in. Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock. Welcome to my podcast, Live Without a Net. I have a friend and an old Villanova alumni with me today, Erica Rothenberger. She's the best. She's a mother of two. She's a keynote speaker, an author. She's into wellness, and she has some really cool products I bought recently. And I'm forgetting something else. She's also a corporate employee. I mean, you do so many things. I don't know how you do it all. And I'm so impressed by you. So I think everyone will be impressed by you. And I know I missed something. Oh, you're a podcaster as well.
Yes. Yeah, the mom. I'm a civil engineer, both of us Villanova alumni, like all the good things. You know, I'm so honored to be here and be on your podcast.
I know. I'm so glad we reconnected at Jillian Mealy's house for her graduation party and commencement speech that she did at her alumni, LaSalle University. And it's just so amazing to see how full circle. I always loved you at Villanova. You always had a good spirit and you were so happy and positive, and you're still carrying that persona today. And I just want to learn more about everything and what keeps you motivated. And you've been through some trauma, which we can talk about later, but we'll start off positive. I'd like to just know how you like stay motivated. You told me you get up at 3:45 every single day.
Well, minus Saturdays and Sundays. I usually am like 5 o'clock on Saturdays and Sundays. So that's sleeping in for me.
And you're always like that.
Yeah. You know, I've always been a morning person. And listen, I want to remind people that are listening to this that aren't not morning people. Like, I'm not trying to convert you to be a morning person. It just works for me. Now, I am the same person that at 10 o'clock at night, if you ask me to go do something productive, like, you're not going to get a good version of Erica Rothenberger. So I always say, listen, you have to find your zone of genius. And if that is 3:45 in the morning, use that time. If that's 3:45 in the afternoon, use that time. But I just love getting up early because that's when I function best. That's when I think best. That's when I do a lot of my writing for my keynotes. And I really love starting my day 3 or 4 hours before most people.
I know. I wish I was, because you get so much peace and therefore so much more clarity and can kind of get your day into perspective before everyone else gets up.
Yeah. And, you know, I always say, like, you know, well done, like, you know, well done is half begun. Like, so if you start your day off, like, with a good foundation, like, get your workout in, get my meditation done, do some work, get some writing done, get all the kids, you know, things together, you know, by 7:30, I feel really accomplished. And that's just a great way for me to build that foundation. And again, if my body needs sleep or I feel like I give it to myself, it's not like I'm like, you know, but my body's, I also go to bed fairly early, like between 9:30 and 10, I'm asleep.
That's so great. So do you have morning routines that you do, whether, you know, some people do like grounding outside or they meditate or cold plunges? Do you do any of that?
Yeah. Like, I always say, listen, you have to make at least 3 things non-negotiable every morning. And my non-negotiables are typically, you know, get up first thing in the morning. I always have 3 giant glasses of water and a lot of my nutritional supplements, like things like NAD and nootropic and adaptogens to be ready to like combat any stress and focus first thing in the morning. I always include a workout, whether today was Hot Sculpt Yoga, other days it's Orange Theory. Some days it's a 5-mile walk. It just depends on the day and like where I'm at, or a heavy lift. And then I always, I have 4 books that I start out every morning with. It takes me about 5 minutes. There's a passage each day in each of the book, 2 of them being more religious, spiritual based, and then 2 of them just being inspirational. I have one that is the Year of Positive Thinking that I just absolutely love. And every day I read them, and I actually post them on my Instagram stories for 2 reasons. 1, to hold myself accountable, because when I post them, it means, hey, I've done my work on my inner soul. But secondly, to inspire other people to either do it or to read it if they didn't maybe have that part of their practice, because it makes a big difference in my day when I do that.
I've seen them on your stories each morning, and I think it's so great. I should do that. I say a lot of things because I listen to different podcasts every morning when I walk my dog, and I don't always follow through on them, whether it's meditating or, you know, envisioning your future, sort of like a vision board. And
yeah.
different things. We're just practicing gratitude, like we were talking about earlier before we started. That makes me think also about NAD. I started taking those supplements like a year ago, then I stopped. Is that something you sell as well?
Absolutely. And I believe so strongly that the NAD has made a huge difference in my cellular detox. The older we get, the more we need to supply our body with different types of supplements. And it's made the world of difference for me. And what I love is it's in a pill form. A lot of people go and get these really expensive injections. We have a proprietary product that is just game changing, these little blue capsules. And I've noticed such a difference, and take two of those every morning, along with my nootropic and along with my collagen and my adaptogens. So I always say, listen, I have three shots before like 5 a.m. most mornings.
You'll have to send that to me also, because I used to take it, but mine was from Vitamin Shoppe. And then I did think about the IVs, but like you said, they are $1,500, $2,000. And then it's like a commitment because you're there like a full day and then have to like keep going back.
Yeah. So this, you're getting like the little dosage every day, and it's very, like, comparatively very economical. I believe it's like $90 a bottle and it lasts me for the month.
That's amazing. Yeah. Cause it's supposed to help with also, you had said like, I think your cells, but, it also helps with anti-aging from what I understand.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah. So I'm excited.
We start taking it, we're going to look like we went back to Villanova.
Right. We look pretty good. We've hung in there this far. Right? But anyway, let's go back into, so you've been a civil engineer for a while, but then you started, being an entrepreneur along the way, and now you have several businesses. So tell me like how you got from being a civil engineer to starting to explore wellness and then being an author. And I do want to talk about the unfortunate assault that happened to you. And I'm sure some of that inspired some of the things you've done, like the keynote speaking, but I just want to know like initially what got you sparked about entrepreneurship?
Yeah, such a great question. I appreciate you asking me to kind of unpack that. And I think a lot of people that are listening to this are probably, you know, in their late 30s, in their 40s, you know, maybe even their 50s, and, you know, the demographics. And let's face it, you know, we're like, go to school for 4 years, get a really good degree, get the corner office. And, you know, I was like a good girl that was like, okay, civil engineering degree, went back and got my MBA right away, climbing the ladder, looking for the corner office, doing the do. I've always had a hard hat and steel toe boots. And in the construction industry, and I still am in that industry and still love that industry and love certain aspects of, you know, being in corporate. However, when I had my first child, I have two kids, but when I had my first, when I had Drew, I just kind of got this spirit in me. So I think I went from Erica 1.0 to Erica 2.0, and I recognized like there was just something more that I needed, right? Like corporate was great, but I felt like I just was like missing a spark in me. And at which point, I remember my daughter being one and my son being three. And my husband and I have always had a real estate business. We've bought properties, we've gutted them, we've rented them. We owned a gym for several years. I was a fitness instructor. I always say, listen, my first job for, you know, entrepreneurship was babysitting. And I'd go around the neighborhood. It was $1 an hour a child. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I would make like, you know, these parents would go out for 12 hours and I'd make like, you know, $12. And
wow,
how crazy that sounds, right? Probably not very good entrepreneurship. I learned what not to do. And then I started, even as a young kid, I used to run swimming lessons in my backyard in my pool. And at that point, you know what I mean? I was getting all this. And you're like, why are you going back to when you were seven or this? But when it's really like always kind of been ingrained in me, even though I've also been ingrained to like work hard, get your degree, you know, go work for someone else. And I recognize when I have my kids, like, I'm like, I want to show them more. And most people at that point will take their foot off the gas, and I kind of put it on the gas. And always being into health and wellness, I started an international wellness business. We're in 26 different countries. Just have always loved that. I love that I can work that virtually an hour or two a day here or there, and make phenomenal, you know, residual income, because I'm a real fan of diverse income. And then to your point, I think, you know, I started my podcast and wrote a book, and all of that was phenomenal. So then I recognized when, you know, like Erica, like 3.0 really emerged out of some unfortunate events 2 years ago, randomly with a man that I had never seen before, who had been in prison for 12 years, came to Philadelphia, assaulted four women the night before, raped a woman, and then proceeded to get onto a bus and get off at the station where I actually work in a very nice community of greater Philadelphia area. I was sitting in my car getting ready to walk into the office, broad daylight, and he was standing literally inches from me. I asked him if I could help him. And before those words even muttered out of my mouth, he punched me straight in the face, grabbed me by my hair, threw me to the asphalt pavement, beat the living shit out of me, and then proceeded to strangle me, all to probably try to take my car and escape after all of the horrific events that had led up to that point. And to this day, people look at that and I'm like, they're like, I'm so sorry. And I said, listen, I said, I appreciate that. And I would say the same thing. I said, but at the end of the day, it's giving me such opportunity to do what I'm doing right now, to talk on podcasts, to be on stages, to share my keynote about the audacity to be resilient. I also talk about the audacity to have it all, and meaning the all of what you really want in life. Like that day, I saw my life flash before my eyes and thought it was my last breath, my last moment here on human, like on earth. And to this day, I'm here now telling the story, being able to be a light and use this as not a victim mindset, not a survivor mindset, but a thriver mindset, and using this light to encourage other people to build that muscle of resiliency. And I truly believe that when you're audacious and you're willing to work through those hard things, that muscle gets built. And the stuff that seemed hard 10 years ago doesn't seem hard anymore, but it's something that we have to constantly work on. It's just like, you know, forever. So it's just, it's been a phenomenal journey, but I will say that I've always had that seedling of entrepreneurship, and now it's just really strong. And 3.0, it's like big stages, speaking, taking my podcast to a whole nother stratosphere. And I just can't wait to see what happens in the next, you know, 5 months, never mind 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still kind of in shock that you asked him if you could help him when he did that to you.
I mean, he just came up to my car and I said, sir, can I help you? I had no idea that he was going to punch me in the face at that point.
Right. I mean, I'll have to get some photos edited into this podcast, but I can even take them off your Facebook, but you were really battered. I mean, completely bloody. And it's just like crazy to think that, I mean, he obviously, I don't know if he thought you were dead or he just wanted you to pass out. And I don't know if you'll ever know.
I will never know. And I think the attempt was like, hey, listen, let's just like, you know, whatever I can do to like stop her from screaming and biting. And I had like blood and saliva and all the, you know, all the things like all over me. And literally, I just remember his giant crease of his elbow coming under my throat, knowing he was going to squeeze as hard as he could. He was an ex-boxer. I mean, this guy was serious stuff. And the fact that he had beaten up four women the night before, assaulted four women the night before, and then had, you know, the gall to like push this poor woman who was waiting for a restaurant shift into a vestibule and rape her, and then try to use my vehicle probably as an escape mechanism. Even changed his clothes in between that. And so, you know,
did
I guess
you
I'll
wake up. Did you wake up on your own or did someone?
I did. And I truly believe that was an act by someone way higher than myself. I believe that like the doctors even said it to me. They're like, we don't understand how you're alive. And that was something that like, I'll never forget those words, like getting into trauma and then literally taking a pair of scissors and just cutting all my clothes off, putting all these contraptions on me, being like, and you know, now 2 years later, look back at that day, which was almost 2 years to the day, it was on June 16th, and to realize, wow, how far I've come and how much my story, I think, has helped a lot of other people. And there's nothing better than when you know you can use a tragedy and turn it into a triumph for someone else or give someone else that strength or courage. And it's part of my healing process. Me talking about it actually has really helped me heal.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like anytime I talk out loud about something, it does help you heal. Mm-hmm. There's something about speaking out that they say that about positive affirmations as well. If you like woke up every day and said, I'm great today, or I'm beautiful, or I'm just throwing things out there. It's supposed to, the words you say to yourself truly mean something. So people should talk nicer to themselves.
I totally agree. Totally agree. Jen, hold on 1 minute.
Yes.
Can I go on this side?
We have to leave here so soon. Okay. Give me 5 minutes and then I'll come talk to you.
I love her voice. So cute.
Okay, she wants to go on a slip and slide. I'm like, we have to go to practice. And like,
I love that. So,
okay. I'll be in 5 minutes. Go get your bathing suit on and we'll talk in a moment.
I love her so much already. Okay. So you used all of that to kind of fuel your future with, being a podcaster, an author, now a keynote speaker. So you're taking it so seriously. You're taking classes, you've told me. And I mean, where do you see yourself going? Like being a global keynote speaker? Is that like ultimately your passion?
Oh, I would love that. I would love to be on stages all throughout the world and really be able just to make an impact and make a difference in whether it's ERG groups, whether it's large corporations, because we all need more resiliency. We all need to strengthen that muscle, whether it's a challenge that we have from a corporate standpoint, whether it's something we have going on personally. And we all have trauma. Like every single one of us has had some sort of trauma, and no trauma is worse or better than anyone else's. It's just there. And so many people, unlike you or I, repress it or push it down or don't deal with it. Well, trauma has a really, really creepy way of finding its way out, and it will rear its ugly head. So you have to decide how you want to deal with it. And I think it's the same way in the corporate environment. People try to push things under the rug and not deal with the problem, like whether it's employee morale or whether it's financial or what it is. But if we don't deal with that now, it's going to come out at some point and harm and hurt the business. And when you create a culture that you are resilient to change, that you are creating a culture that's you're comfortable talking about the trauma that's had happened in the office, right? You ultimately build a stronger culture and a stronger team.
Absolutely. And you speak to corporations now, right? You do.
Correct.
Yes. That's what I thought. So if people want to book you, do they just go to ericarothenberger.com?
Yeah. www.ericarothenberger.com. There's a speaker, interested in me being a keynote speaker, some questions there. I'd reach out to you. We'd have a great discussion. I have about, I'll probably by the end of this year, probably have like 15 to 18 like big stage keynotes that I've been doing. My goal was to do, 12 this year, and next year it's, 15 to 20. So it's been a lot of fun. Everything from like speaking at Princeton University to I'm going to be speaking for Mass Mutual coming up.
Congrats.
Distribution Contractors Association, Girls Spark, which is an amazing nonprofit organization in our local area. So I love speaking on all different stages, and I really can cater my keynote to that audience because I believe that it affects all of us.
Absolutely. And then your books, is that all found on your website if people want to get your
book? Yep, my book, my wellness information, my podcast, everything that you would want to know. You can find out a lot about me, including, pictures of my kids on there. So, and on social media too, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, just really there to support. But yeah, if someone's looking for an opportunity, would love to chat with them, whether it's a virtual or in person.
You also speak in the construction industry on how people can hone their soft skills, correct?
Yes, I speak a lot on like leadership skills, and we have this facade or this armor on, especially in like a blue collared male dominated space, and really talking about building those leadership skills and how we can be better, because there's skills that we haven't necessarily taught that group, that demographic. And we're really doing ourselves a disservice because they are true professionals and true leaders. So I love speaking in male dominated spaces because I think it's needed. And industries there have the macho personalities, right? Like, oh, I don't need that soft stuff, or I don't need to learn about the frou-frou. And it's not frou-frou. It's absolutely essential to take your business from good to great or from great to phenomenal. So I just think it's so essential.
So people can find you, Erica Rothenberger, on your Instagram, your Facebook, your website. They can see your books. Can they see your wellness products there?
On my website, absolutely. Yep. Right. And I'm constantly talking about them in my stories.
You have one book. I thought you had
One book, but I have another one in progress.
Okay.
So that one, the goal is that will be launched by the end of 2025. Right now I'm working on revising another keynote. And so I'm, really focused right there, and then taking my podcast really to that next level. So Grit, Grace, and Glitz, awesome podcast, have some phenomenal guests on there. Jen will be on there. And I just really just talking about stories, giving people a platform not only to tell their story, but be inspired by other people's stories.
And don't you also have something like from stilettos to...
Oh, yeah. From stilettos to steel-toe boots. Yes.
I love that. Yeah. Yep. That's great. That's so
many, many times. Like I said, I've never been without a hard hat and people are like, what? And I'm like, yeah, you know, you gotta, I have a hard, can have a hard facade sometimes. And I've learned over 22 years being in the industry, it has not been easy. I actually, one of my keynotes, I actually talk about that first day that I went on that job site, and what that felt like. Talk about having audacity.
I get it. Especially in a male dominated blue collar industry, like you said.
It wasn't Villanova anymore, and believe me, the calls were a lot different.
I get it. I went through my own with TV news at the time. It was completely a shock and a lot of work, so I understand. Different.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, different times with a lot of tough women, but
yes,
well, other industry, but we'll save that for podcast number two. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure. And I love knowing you and learning from you. And I can't wait for our lunch and other things and to be on your podcast.
Oh my goodness. This has been such a phenomenal relationship. And I'm so glad like we've opened the doors back up because I know there's so many things we're going to collaborate on. I can't wait till you're on Kirk Grace and Glitz. And just so excited to see where we go with all this.
Absolutely. Well, have a great day. And I will see you soon. Thanks for being on Live Without a Net.
Well, that's it for now. Thanks everyone for joining us. Please reach out to me so I can feature you on my show. I do respond to everyone. You can find me on my Instagram at Jennifer Sherlock or my business Instagram at JennaCom. And check out our new website coming soon, livewithoutanet.com. Thanks again, and I look forward to taking risks with you.